A group of senior security and defence leaders has issued a stark warning to the Australian government. They say it's failing to protect Australian citizens against the growing threat of climate change. And they warn that Australia is falling behind internationally as allies like the US elevate climate change to the top of their national security challenges. Air Vice Marshal John Blackburn is the former Deputy Chief of the Royal Australian Air Force and one of the members of this newly formed Australian Security Leaders Climate Group. John Blackburn, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Can you explain to everyone listening why you regard climate change as a national security threat?
Well, we've seen the impacts the pandemic's had on us. Our concerns are that the impact of climate change over time will be far greater, but we're not paying it adequate attention. And climate change in this country has become such a politically heated discussion, an emotional discussion, that we're not addressing this in a rational way.
But why should we be addressing it through the security prism? I suppose that's what your group, former high-level defence personnel regard this as an important security threat.
Yeah, when we're talking security, we're not talking about just defence or counterterrorism. We're talking about our whole way of life. So it's our resilience as a nation. We've got a lot of experience in dealing with large risk issues. You know, with this civil-military background that we have in our group, decades of service. So what we want to do is take that experience and look at the risks we're facing with climate change in a calm way and have a rational discussion with Australians saying, look, this is what it could look like based upon scientific advice. If we don't start preparing for this, we are going to be in a real problem state. You can't just react to climate change. It's not possible.
How are other countries responding to it? And even other militaries, because I've done items on this program in years past, many years ago, of actual, you know, militaries doing wargaming around climate change. It is happening.
Oh, it is happening around the world. You've got to start with a realistic risk assessment, and that's the first thing that we're calling to be done, a transparent risk assessment. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're seeing in our view in this country here is it's sort of papered over. If you look at the National Climate Resilience and Adaptation Strategy, the government published in 2015, oh, look, we're well positioned to meet this challenge. You know, we're a responsible player. We've got everything in place. Don't worry about it. That's just in denial. We know from the science and from what other countries are doing, this is a serious problem we have to address. We have to prepare. And one of the things we're saying is let's learn some lessons from this pandemic and apply those lessons to how we're going to approach climate change.
The Prime Minister, though, is also now very, very recently, in fact, as recently as this week, speaking out about the fact that, you know, the planet is changing, climate is changing, it demands change from Australia. Are you heartened by those comments?
No, because I can't see any coherent strategy or policies in a whole range of areas, whether it's climate or energy in our society. We're being dragged backwards into addressing these issues by the other countries. It's not helped when he makes statements like he did to the Business Council that we're not going to achieve net zero in the cafes, dinner parties and wine bars of our inner cities. That's demeaning the right of Australians to have a commentary and a discussion about this. So I do not see a coherent approach, a listening approach to addressing these risks. So that's what we're trying to do, is have a slightly different conversation in this country.
Okay, a listening approach. Now, that comment you just made, I raised it on the program yesterday. It was clearly a politically charged comment, and mm-hmm. It was making a political message to a particular slice of the Australian audience. But if you look beneath that, the Australian government today, for instance, is committing $500 million to invest in technology, hydrogen in particular, and carbon capture and storage to cut emissions. The Prime Minister is making the point, and he'll bring this to the table, I think, at the US President Joe Biden summit, Australia's total emissions are 19% lower than in 2005. He says we're on track for Paris. So if you look at what the government is actually doing at the moment, investing in new technologies to lower emissions, does that make you realise that the government has been listening and does understand that action needs to occur?
Technology investment alone is not enough. So we have to be honest about what the risk is and put that on the table, because technology is a part of the solution, but we're going to have to prepare how this will impact our lives and societies. We've already seen from bushfires, if you wait to react and don't prepare adequately, it makes it a lot harder. Exactly the same problem with climate. It's not just about fires and floods. Just think about what that dust storm did in Egypt recently, where the container ship ran aground and everyone started caring about supply chains. We are going to be subject to large-scale supply chain interruptions, as well as the fires and floods and other considerations that weather causes in Australia. This is a disruption to global way of life. It's not going to be solved by a technology roadmap, which is just a list of potential technologies. We've got to take a more comprehensive view, and the government is not doing that either here or in the energy sphere.
Okay. Before we get to the more comprehensive review, can you just quantify or talk a little more about the risks? Bushfires and floods, we understand, and we've had, and cyclones, we've had, enormous examples, deadly, tragic examples of, and very costly examples of this in the last couple of years here in Australia. Beyond that, you've talked about the supply chains. What else? How would you quantify the risks or describe those risks?
Well, we've already seen, particularly in some areas of medicine areas that I've talked to pharmaceutical companies, when drought takes out, say, a city, and this has happened in India, when you get interruption to manufacturing, we end up finding there are single sources of supply of key parts of pharmaceuticals. If you think about the shipping, if the Panama Canal and the Suez Canal were both interrupted, that disruption, that's an example of disruption to supply chains. Major weather events at sea, given our dependence on maritime trade for the vast majority of our imports and exports, if that gets interrupted, that has an economic effect, but it also affects what we can do in our society. We won't be just be fighting over toilet rolls. We'll be have a real supply problem of critical imports. And so we need to understand what that full risk could look like and what we need to do about it, because resilience is not just responding to fires or floods. It's working out how our society works, how our supply chains work, and how we can deal with those sorts of interruptions, which are likely given the science advice about where climate change could take us.
And given the science advice, given what we've seen, I think a lot of people expect that our governments and the people working in our public service departments and other places would well understand those potential risks, because they're not that hard to think your way through to, really. It's surprising then when I read, for instance, in preparation for this interview, that the Department of Defence had advised people preparing preparing papers on climate change to avoid that term, because it's political. To avoid the term climate change in doing risk assessments. Are you aware of that? Have you heard of that before? And what's your reaction to that?
Yes, I've heard of that. Look, within government departments, I spent 43 years in defence, there's often political guidance of what you can and can't do. So you're not able to fully express your views, and that's just how the system works. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
But avoiding a term climate change, I mean, that's quite a basic term, really, common term.
Yes, it is, but that's what happened, apparently.
Former Prime Ministers Malcolm Turnbull and Kevin Rudd have written an opinion piece today, a joint opinion piece, saying Australia's climate targets must be much more ambitious. They cite Japan, South Korea and Canada, all expected to announce new medium-term 2030 emissions reductions plans this week around the table of that US summit. And they say our country continues to bury its head in the sand. You clearly agree with that criticism. Are you hoping, or do you think there will be more pressure on Australia when Scott Morrison attends that virtual leader summit?
I think you're going to see over the next year or two a considerable increase in pressure. What Biden's doing with the US administration, what we're seeing happening in Europe and the UK, it's evident that if we don't take this more seriously, we'll face even things like tariffs on our exports. So eventually we'll have increasing pressure upon us to go along with what the global leaders are doing, but also if we don't adapt to this, we'll see an economic impact as well. I mean, the Europeans have made that pretty clear. So we can either get on the front foot and say, well, how do we deal with this? Or else we can sort of incrementally react to the problems that occurs. I mean, that's what happened to the pandemic. We reacted very well thanks to science, but we failed fundamentally to prepare for a predictable event. A pandemic's been predicted. With climate, we need to take notice of the science. There's been a lot of pushback within parts of both sides of politics, and that's mad. The next thing we have to do is prepare for it. And the first thing that we're pushing for is how do we as a country get ready to deal with the impacts on our society, and how can we better be prepared for it? Now, the emissions part's very important, but we already know from what science tells us, regardless of what we do on the emissions side, the next 10 or 15 years, we're going to see increasing impacts of climate change because of what's happened in the last couple of decades. We're arguing, let's get on and prepare for that. Don't deny it.
John Blackburn, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
John Blackburn, and Air Vice Marshal John Blackburn is the former Deputy Chief of the Royal Australian Air Force and a member of this newly formed group, Australian Security Leaders Climate Group. It's coming up towards